Welcome to Between a Talk and a Hard Place, a podcast for women bringing down-to-earth conversations about the realities of our real-life experiences. I'm your host, Lisette McKenzie, author, life and mindset transformation coach, and self-concept connoisseur. And together with my girls, Alicia and Natira, we'll be discussing everything from situations to situationships and the challenges women face every day as we navigate this thing called life.
Welcome back to the Between a Talk and a Hard Place podcast. Today I'm being joined by mother, entrepreneur, co-contributing author in the Sisters in Arms, The Black Diamond Experience, Our Rise to Significance book collaboration, and a motivating force for women, Miss Jovita Miller. Jovita, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Let me just tell you, you wrote Your chapter hits home. Your chapter, I'm a teen mother. Your chapter, which is entitled, You Are Not a Statistic, How to Overcome When the Odds Are Against You. And first when I read it, I'm like, okay, a statistic, what do you mean? And then when I saw what you were really talking about, I was like, oh, that's me. That is me. She's talking to me. Phenomenal. It was absolutely phenomenal. You were addressing the challenges that come with teen pregnancy. I had my son when I was 15 years old, and society's expectations of me and for me was definitely to fail. Never in a million years would anybody think, oh, she's going to go to school and finish her high school diploma. Oh, she's going to go on to college to get her associate's degree. Oh, she's going to get her bachelor's degree. Oh, wait, she's going to get her master's degree. Oh, she's going to be gainfully employed. That's just not what society sees when they see, especially an African-American male or female.
Correct.
Who goes out, you know, you have the kids, or it's like automatically we're going to need the system. We're going to rely on the system. We're not going to be able to function for ourselves. So I commend you for the words that you have placed in this book. And I will hand the floor over to you so you can school them on a little something.
Well, you know what? Once again, thank you for having me on your show. But that chapter, let me tell you, that was birthed in me years ago. That phrase, you're not a statistic, I talked about this when I first moved to Virginia, which was, oh my gosh, about 20 something years ago now.
Wow.
And I never knew where it was going to take me. And then this opportunity presented itself, and I was like, this would be a great segue into, you know, a little bit of my life. Because when I read it, after I wrote it, oh my gosh, I realized that I'm still living that same way in that statistical, you know, time and stuff like that. So, but this chapter, oh my gosh, it was so great and powerful writing it. And because we as single moms, the odds are against us.
Yeah.
It truly is. And then for me, I had like double odds because I was raising the boy. So
yes.
That was just like another odd, but I wanted to portray that although you have these odds, that you still can overcome them. Just, you have to just do just basic things and, you know, get the help you need, ask for help. Because it took me forever to ask for help until I needed to ask for help. And
yes.
So that's one of the challenges that, you know, we as single moms go through. We just don't want to ask for help because we're like, this is our responsibility. This is my child. I'm supposed to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're in a single parent home, and you commute like I do, I commute an hour and a half. During this time, I was commuting an hour and a half one way.
Wow.
So it's like, if I can't get to him, I needed to build that village
yes.
around me that
mm-hmm.
could help him. Now, it took me a while to do that. But in this particular chapter, I just kind of tailored my life.
Mm-hmm.
And after I had my kids, I had my son at 18.
Okay.
I was in college when I found out. Now, granted, I didn't know that I was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, didn't grow. Was
wow.
still having my sporadic cycles as always.
Wow.
So freshman in college, right? So I'm eating cheeseburgers and all of this.
And everything was normal.
Right. And honestly, I really wasn't gaining a lot of weight. So the way I did see, I was like, well, shoot, I should, because I'm eating cheeseburger and french fries every day. So, but I was walking too, because you had to walk everywhere. I couldn't have a car on campus.
Right.
So I personally only found, well, my mom, she said she had a dream. So I really, but she didn't know that I had already scheduled an appointment, because I just wanted to utilize all the services we were paying for. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, let me just ease her conscience. Go ahead and let her know that I'm planning on taking, you know, getting checked out anyway, because I had never had a PAPS at that point in my life. Mm-hmm. Just never had any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. I was like, let me just try it out. So I let her know that's what I was going to do. That her, because she told my dad about it and she cried and all that. And I'm sitting there like,
goodness.
Me and him, we're having dialogue. Like, just go do it so we can ease her. Right? Little did I know. Without going too far in it, but little did I know, sister girl was pregnant.
That fish, she had a fish dream, didn't she?
Right.
That fish dream was on point, yes.
And I didn't believe it. I did not believe in that stuff until she said, well, I was dreaming about fish. I said, could you just question me, talk about my stomach ain't look right? Well, shoot, I'm fat. I've been eating cheeseburgers and hot dogs and fries. So, you know, in the point to like just prove her wrong, I ended up proving her right. And that's when it all started. Mm-hmm. Right. So you go through that, fast forward, I go back, because I still stayed in college. I go back to college. Mm-hmm. That's another funny part. Go back to college, and mm-hmm. this advisor tells me that I'm a statistic because I'm not going to make it. One out of every, I forgot the number he told me, but he was like, you're not going to make it in computer engineering.
Wow. And
to me, I'm like, nah, how can you tell me that? And I believed him.
Wow.
I totally believed him. And that was a depressing moment for me, because that was an odd. That was, you know, he put this against me. Mm-hmm. And I don't even think he really knew that I had a kid. That wasn't mm-hmm. the point. I just had a bad semester. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that was another odd. But like, if you get the book, you read it, my chapter is chapter 4.
Yes.
You're not a statistic. You get into the nitty gritty of this whole story. That's just a preview of what it was. And I'll give you another odd that we single moms go through, is raising kids by ourselves. Uh-huh. Oh my gosh. That is like, it's a stigma within itself. And it puts a negative connotation on the term single mom. And I really want my community to know that it's not a negative thing at all. Because when people look at you like, oh, you're a single mom, it's not nothing bad about
it's
being
not a
single
disease.
Mom. That's just your reality.
Right. It's not a disease. It doesn't mean you are disabled. It's none of that. Like, oh, single mom. Oh, you got kids? Oh, yeah, I do. I got all. Yes. What do you, and? Like, what? It's really frustrating. It really is. And it's like it's just sewn in. It's a part of the DNA of societal thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, African American, that's a strike. Teen, that's African American teen, that's a strike. Add a baby in there, that's a strike. Like, how many more strikes do they want to give us?
Right.
Before they acknowledge that we are capable.
Exactly.
Of what happens, everybody has a setback. Things happen to everybody. Why is it that when it happens to us, it's so bad?
Right. And it shouldn't be that way, because that's even in the workplace today, in corporate America, white collar, blue collar, it doesn't matter. We as Black women, we tend to have that stigma. And oh, by the way, we can't speak direct and firm without someone associated with an attitude.
Yes. Yo, she's an angry Black woman.
Right. It's like, no, I'm just telling you what it is. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just speaking to you direct and firm. That's all it is, mm-hmm. you know, but that's just, you know, some of the things that we go through, some of the challenges that we go through. We go through like financial challenges. How can we find the cash? you know, considering, you know, some of our friends may be in those dual income households.
Right.
They can do all of this for their kids. And you're like, oh, well, I don't know, honey. I don't think we can do that today, you know, or whatever. So that odds you can actually get over by just learning how to manage, you know, your finances.
Absolutely.
As, you know, those are the key things that I talk to my clients about, as far as, you know, just budgeting, making sure you can manage your finances, the time and task management, making sure that you can manage your time well, that you can still take care of yourself and take care of your family.
Right. And absolutely.
You have to communicate that with your family, because sometimes I get the question all the time, well, how can I do that if I got to run around, I got to cook, I got to do this? When is there time for me? You talk to your family about it. You know, and that could be any woman, any man, just anybody. Mm-hmm. You communicate that. Interesting enough, this is the second book that I've written.
Really?
My first book, which is called In Between the Sheets, Pulling Back the Covers to Enhance Your Sexual Experience, I dig into the fact that you just need to communicate that time. Especially if you're dating or you're married, you have to communicate this with your partner and with your kids. So you can tell your kids, look, mommy and daddy are having date night, a date hour during this time. That means do not disturb.
Yes.
Because we have everything for you. Your snacks are ready to go. You got your game. You will be all right. And that's especially if we're in the house. Mm-hmm. But if we're out, we can get a sitter, you know, and say, hey, this is what's happening. But the kids get accustomed to that.
Right.
And you're teaching them how to set boundaries. And, you know, taking care of themselves and their families.
And respect boundaries. Set them and respect them. Yes.
Yeah.
And you said the name of that book is In Between the Sheets. Look, I'm writing. In Between the Sheets.
Yes. Pulling Back the Covers to Enhance Your Sexual Experience. And in that book, it's coming from like a holistic, you know, viewpoint. The title itself, it does go into some of that.
Okay.
But it's really you pulling back these covers of yourself so that you can get to know and love yourself.
Right.
Accept yourself for who you are, because that will make you a better partner in return.
Absolutely.
So it helps all women, actually.
Absolutely.
You know, I have a chapter in there for the single mom, dating in the single mom, right? I have that. But everything in that book are tools to help you become a better you.
Is it available on Amazon?
Yes, it's available on Amazon.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
So, but it was a phenomenal journey writing that.
Mm-hmm.
And cause saying that was my first book, I was like, oh my gosh, because I never thought I was going to be an author.
That's one other thing that you can place on your list.
Exactly.
Of being a teen mother, college graduate, like, just keep adding. Go ahead.
Exactly. You know, trying to start a business. You know, and it can be done. There may be challenging times, but, you know, all of this can be done.
Yep. Absolutely.
My passion is empowering women to live confident, authentic lives, unapologetic.
Yes.
And that's just one of my main goals. I do that. I don't know if you know, but I have a weekly segment on Facebook and YouTube it's called Wind Down Wednesdays.
Okay.
And I do that at 8:30 p.m. Eastern every Wednesday. And it's just real talk. I'm just talking to anybody who would listen, right?
Wind Down Wednesdays. Are you on YouTube and Facebook?
Yes, I stream live on YouTube and Facebook every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday.
And it's been therapeutic for me. But the feedback that I've gotten from it has made me feel like I'm living my life's purpose.
Absolutely.
So I feel great when I do it. I've had this one guy, he's a minister, and I never thought of it as ministry. And he said, that's your ministry. And I'm looking at him like, don't be putting that calling on me now.
Watch what you say.
Right. But I understood what he meant.
Right.
So he was encouraging too. Like, these people are listening.
Mm-hmm.
People are, you know, they may not tune in when it's live, but it's there and they can.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I love doing it. There were times where I wanted to stop. But, you know, just hearing someone say, hey, are you going to be on tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I am.
Even if it's just one person, you know, it makes a difference.
Right. And I have to constantly remind myself that this is bigger than me. It's not truly about me, but mm-hmm. what I'm saying is helping someone else. Absolutely. Learning my story is helping someone else, because you never know that woman, that child, that Absolutely. Man mm-hmm. who could be going through that same thing. And to hear that somebody else is going through it or has gone through it, and they come out on the other side.
Absolutely.
That is powerful in itself.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness. Yes. Absolutely. You just got me jotting down. See, I wasn't expecting all this good stuff.
I'm motivating myself. Why are
you it makes a difference. It's discouraging when you feel like no one is listening. And it, for me, because I like to be a tool of empowerment as well, and I always question why women, especially women who need the encouragement, it's visual, it's in your face, it's blatant, but they run from it. They run from, God forbid, they have to self-reflect. Like, their people are afraid to self-reflect. They're afraid of what they're going to see. They're afraid to hear people talk about real life situations, because they're mm-hmm. afraid they're going to relate to it. Right, and there's nothing to be afraid of. There is absolutely nothing to be afraid of. And it gets frustrating. There are so many days where I get frustrated. I think, because I speak to young girls, but primarily my focus is on older women who are still stuck mm-hmm. in that, what I call a young girl phase, because that's what I was going through when I was a young girl. Mm-hmm. And when I was young, I didn't understand the concept of looking at myself and recognizing that I'm the key to changing all the negative stereotypes that are placed against me, all the negative situations that I'm faced with. I'm the key, but I just need to be able to recognize it. And right. a lot of women run from that action. They don't want to do it, and it's frustrating.
It's frustrating, and they do it because they do it mainly because we were taught not to talk about that stuff. We were taught not to show any weakness. Yes. We were taught to do what we have to do, and it's a lot of things we need to unlearn. Yes. And in our healing process, we tend to unlearn that stuff, but it requires work.
Yes.
And some of us, just plain honest, we just don't want to do the work. Mm-hmm. But I can guarantee you, and you can attest to this too, once you do the work, it's so freeing.
It's refreshing. It's like,
wow.
Yes.
You know, I got it. It's out of me. Now I can move forward. You see other doors opening. Mm-hmm. You see different things that you wanted to do that now you can do because you were in your own way.
Yes.
And we do that a lot. We get in our own way. And I just like to always encourage women, and I'm just anybody, but mainly women, because we have the hardest time mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. just keep pressing forward and yep. keep going through your healing process. Self-reflect constantly. You know, if you have to do it daily, maybe do it weekly, whatever it works for you, because you have to keep doing that and reevaluating and look around at the people around you. Who are you surrounding yourself with?
Yes.
Because if you're surrounding yourself with these Debbie Downers all the time, that's going to be a part of your DNA. Mm-hmm. And is that what you really want?
Yes.
So, and you picked up on a key word when you say make yourself aware. You have to recognize this is what's going on and be open and willing to hear, you know, the different stories.
And I used to, a lot of the things that I do and say now is because I took the time to think back to my most unhappiest moments in life. And a lot of the things that I was doing it to try to fit in with these people who really had nothing in common with me, they were just there. And I'm trying to insert myself into groups of people where I didn't belong, instead, because it looked like that was the in thing to do. Whereas where I belonged was the nerdy, like I was really nerdy growing up, and I didn't want to be nerdy. You know, I didn't want to be nerdy, but in actuality, that's where I was happy. I was happy being nerdy, but I was trying to ignore my true happiness, trying to fit in with the in crowd, and I was truly unhappy. And I think a lot of people, they do that. Social media is a prime example. Mm-hmm. People are not posting, they're posting all these great things. A lot of these images are enhanced. Mm-hmm. A lot of the images are fake. And people are looking at this, trying to live up to these standards that the people posting them are 9 times out of 10 not living up to.
Right.
And that's like the biggest downfall. Like, I always tell people, you have to be happy with who you are, flaws and all. You gotta be happy with who you are right now.
Right.
Because it makes no sense to try to live up to someone else's standards. That's fail. You're gonna fail. You're gonna fail yourself. You're gonna always feel like a failure.
Yes, every single time. You are absolutely right about that. Just, and it can get frustrating too, because some of these people, you know that, okay, you ain't really living that type of life.
How you got all that money? You was just asking me for $20
yesterday. Right.
Where you got that from?
You posting pictures of you and your man. Now you know y'all done broke up and all of that, but you, well, stop faking the fun.
Yes, just keep it real. You want to be real. You don't have to show. And I think that's another problem. People think they have to advertise everything that's going on in their lives.
And you don't.
You don't. It's nobody's business but you and the person that it's between.
Right. You do not have to.
You don't owe. And that's something that even, and I'm wondering if it's more African-American women who feel like they have to have a reason. They have to have something tangible in order to be believed. Because even, you know, at work, we work more to get a favorable nod. We have to go that extra mile to get a favorable nod. I have coworkers who, I'm not doing that, and they don't do it. Whereas if I'm like, I can't do that because, like, I always feel like maybe I need to just add a little bit more, but I'll see my coworkers. I'm like, I'm not doing that.
No explanation or anything,
Nothing. They're unapologetic about it. And here I am offering up all this information, and I'm like, do I really need to?
Right. Exactly. And that's where that self-reflection comes in. Because now you're aware of what it is, and you're like, okay, let me take a step back. Let me think. And we've all been through that, because I have. I felt like I had to explain every answer I gave. I had to be the last one to respond to everything. Mm-hmm. And it took me some years to actually realize that's not what I don't have to do that. I don't owe anybody an explanation. If my answer is no, no is no.
No is no. Absolutely.
If I say yes, then yes is yes. It's no like, well, why this? No, because I said yes.
Yep, absolutely.
But you're right. We are. It's just one of those things, especially in the workplace with other women. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah.
All I can say, I mean, I have, it's crazy. You know, I've worked with people who do the absolute bare minimum, and nothing gets said to them. Mm-hmm. And the minute I forget one thing, it's like, it's the end of the world. Oh my God, how could you do this? I'm like, should I really care about that?
Right. It does bother you. It does, because you're like, well, dang, now they're looking down on me, and that's not what you wanted to portray.
And when I read your chapter in the book, because you said looking down, when I got pregnant with my son, that's how I felt. And I withdrew because I'm like, okay, people are going to be looking down at me. You know, it was just this bad thing.
Right.
And I felt like I needed to either disappear or figure out how to explain why I was pregnant. And I didn't want to explain. So I withdrew big time.
Wow.
And it wasn't a bad thing. Yeah, I was 15 years old, but thankfully, I had the support, you know, my mom and my son's his father and his grandmother. You know, it's not like we weren't really in a relationship anymore, but he was very active in my son's life, like literally.
Awesome.
Like, I think there were times when I'm like, can I please borrow my kid today? You know, so I had that support. So I didn't have, you know, I wasn't actually living that so-called statistic, but I still felt like one.
Oh, yeah.
I still, you know, people still looked at me like, oh, look at her. She's pregnant. She's, look at that black pregnant girl. Typical, you know. You know, you don't want people to look down on you, but what do you do? How do you strengthen yourself? I think your question. How do you strengthen yourself to deal with the negativity that's going to come your way whenever you do anything that goes against what society considers to be normal?
So, like, my answer to that would be you have to first know yourself, right? Know yourself, be comfortable in your own skin, and realize that you can't control what they say, what they do, or how they think. The only person you can control is yourself. So how you respond to the negativity as it comes your way will determine a lot. Because your response, if you just give it, feed it positivity, it's going to stop dead in its tracks. But if you feed into the negativity, it's going to keep going and keep going. It's exhausting.
Yes.
Because you feel like you got to defend yourself all the time. But if someone says, you know, well, yeah, you were pregnant at, you know, a young age. Yes, I sure was.
Yep.
I sure was. That is not a lie. Fact. Ding, ding, ding. You won. You know.
Now, what's next? Like,
right.
That's not a bad thing.
Exactly. But it happened. It happened. And look at me now. Look at my son now. You know, it happened. Yes, it did. But, you know, we're at that point now that we've done the healing. We've done the work.
Right.
That we can do that. But when you're in it, you're not thinking that. Mm-hmm. But at the same token, you're like, well, I got to do what I got to do. So you can say whatever you want to say. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, whatever. But I'm going to keep it moving.
Yep. And the fact is that you can. You can keep it moving. It does. The ball doesn't drop right there.
Right.
If it drops, you can always pick it up and keep moving. And I think people are made to feel that once something unfavorable happens, their life is over.
Oh, I felt that way. I told my daddy that. Yeah. I got on the phone where I said, my life as I know it is over.
And that's not the case.
Right.
That's not the case. And I really wish people would stop pushing that note. Like, stop saying that. Stop being discouraging. Why? What's the purpose? Why are you going to put someone else down? If that's not your situation, that's not your situation. But right. Why put somebody else down because that's not your situation?
Exactly. You don't know what they went through.
Exactly.
You know, they could have already gone through that. Now you're just getting them to relive a whole traumatic point in their lives that they've worked so hard to get past. And they're still working. Mm-hmm. So, because I know sometimes it still hits me hard. I'll be like, dang. Then I'll be like, well, look at me now.
Yeah. You always have to look at where you are. You might not be where you want to be. You might not have all the things that you want to have. But I guarantee you, you're not in the same place you were last year.
Exactly.
So, and I think that's what is important. And people harp on the fact, oh, I don't have. Yeah, but what do you have?
Exactly. Change your mindset.
That is what's important. That's what keeps you growing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what keeps you knowing that you're doing something right.
Exactly. Because if you come back to the same spot, then okay, something I was doing just didn't work right.
Mm-hmm.
We have to regroup. Let's replan. Let's refocus and try something different.
Yep.
And absolutely. That's how you grow. And you got to be open to growing.
Absolutely.
There are some people who are just stuck and they just want to stay stuck and complain. And you know what I do with those folks? Like, I honestly listen, but then I start weaning myself away.
Yeah,
because I can't have that messing up my energy.
Absolutely.
And I'll get so involved that I'm like, I have to take a step back. And no love lost, but you do you. But when you're ready to make a change in your life, talk about something different, come talk to me.
Or talk about solutions. If you still have a problem and you want to talk about solutions, I'm your girl.
Exactly.
You want to come to me every day talking about this same problem every single day, I have to protect my peace. And that means, yes. Come talk to me about solutions. Don't talk to me about the problems.
Right. Right. Definitely.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And I think a lot of girls now, it might be a little different. I know looking at the young girls now who get pregnant, it seems kind of different. They seem like they don't care. But is that a facade? You know, is that shell that had to be built up, around them to deal with everything that's going on?
It could be a shell that they did build up. And it's also a mechanism of they don't care because now they got somebody. They know they're going to have somebody who's going to love them. Mm-hmm. You know, because you don't know their story, whether or not they grew up not feeling love. And, oh, by the way, now I'm pregnant. Mm-hmm. Guess what? I'm going to love this baby and this baby going to love me. Mm-hmm. And that's why I don't care that people know that I'm pregnant. I'm going to walk around with my head held high. Mm-hmm. And it's good that they're walking around with their head held high, because I knew when I didn't want to be out in public. I didn't want to be seen, because to me it was embarrassing.
Right.
But I'm glad that they're walking with their head held high, but they're doing it for a different reason though. It's not their confidence. It's like the excitement of having someone to love me.
Right. And
they shouldn't have to go through that, because they should, you know, have felt the love. Mm-hmm. But then you're asking their parents, who may not know how to love or doing the best that they can on showing that, and not meeting the kid what, you know, giving them what they need.
What they need, right.
So it's like, but I do think, like you said, it's a shell. They bring up that shell and it's hard to break through it.
It's hard. It's hard. And I think, I don't know. I think a lot, it's a self-esteem issue. It's a self-confidence issue. People don't realize that everything that they touch every day revolves around who they are.
Yes.
So when they are not sure of who they are, the things that they attract is not going to cater to the real person within them. They don't know, they don't recognize that. And it's hard, I think, for people to really just look at themselves. I don't know why it's so scary. And I've gone through that. I remember not wanting to see my flaws, not wanting to know. I wanted to be perfect.
Yes.
Perfect does not exist.
It doesn't.
Perfect does not exist. I remember one of my friends, when I was a teenager, her mom let her dye her hair, and it was so beautiful. It was pretty brown. I told my mom I wanted to dye my hair, and she said, no, you're too young. So what did I do? Because I wanted to look perfect.
Uh-huh.
I dyed my hair with peroxide.
Oh, because that's how you're supposed to do it back in the day, right?
Peroxide. When I tell you, when I was done, I had about 3 strands and a bow. My hair it dried up. It fell out, and I looked like it was horrible. Literally 3 strands and a bow I could put. And my mother just looked at me like, you're so hard-headed, you don't listen. And she's right, because I'm trying to keep up with everything that's going on around me instead of just accepting who I am.
Right,
I didn't have to look like everybody else. If I had to look like somebody else to be accepted, then that was the wrong crowd to be aiming for acceptance.
Right.
So and I think that's what a lot of young girls now, they're trying to fit into these crowds. They're trying to be accepted, and they have to change so much of themselves just to be accepted that they don't realize it's not even worth it.
Right. That's why this book project was just like phenomenal. Like you may know some of everybody, but I only know Shaniqua.
I only knew Shaniqua and Andrea.
So it's just amazing, because I'm not completely done, but I've read it and I'm like, how all of these people who don't really know much about each other has come together to create such a project as this.
Yes.
And the stories are all different. But it all centers around, you know, look, this is where I was, and this is where I am now. And in between, I had to do some work, you know, and it just shows that. And I think, you know, that that's what made this, like, really, like, it touched my heart. You know,
absolutely.
It really did touch my heart. It, it took me a minute to write this chapter, though. But it touched my heart, and I was excited about it because I could see the big picture, and knowing that I live a life that is not just for me. I know that it's going to reach a lot of people. It's going to touch. It's relatable. We are, I've related to almost every story in there so far, and I got two more chapters to read. So it's just like, it's powerful when you think about it in the big picture. It's just very, very powerful, and I just love it, and it fits with my mission.
Absolutely.
It's with my mission, and
absolutely,
and that's how I live my life now. It's, if it's not going to work within my mission, then it's, I can't.
It's not worth journeying outside of where you know you belong.
Exactly.
And people need to realize that you have to know where you belong before you can determine what's worth your time.
Yes, exactly. So I have this other program that I am, that I have launched a little bit, but it's really coming to fruition now. It's 6 steps to living a purposeful and passionate life.
Okay.
And it focuses on, you know, peeling back those layers. Those layers of you, you know, the L is basically talking about just love yourself. You know, the A is affirm, affirmations. We have to, like, affirm, we have to change the way we think.
Absolutely.
So if you constantly feed yourself positivity, you're going to start thinking that way.
Absolutely.
The Y is basically you're focused on you, just you and you alone. E is for now you're starting to evolve. Into the person you're supposed to be. And then you have that restoration period.
Okay.
Where, you know, you're just restoring everything. And then sexuality, I had to throw that in there, right?
Absolutely. Because it's important.
Yeah, you have to embrace all of that. Because once you go through all of that, those layers, then now you're ready to embrace the true essence of who you are.
Absolutely.
Embracing your sexuality. So that, I have that program. I think that's the big one.
I actually love that.
I'm in the middle of, like, revamping it because I was thinking about just putting some audio behind it.
Okay.
So that's kind of, that's where I am, but it's a really good program. It's a, it's a 90-day program. It's steps.
Awesome.
You just take these
steps
and just go through it. And it's not intensive. You know, journal along the way, because I'm big on journaling. Because if you write it down, it's, I'm big on journaling.
I think writing, technology has evolved so much that has taken people away from the things that can kind of keep them grounded. And journaling is an excellent way to bring yourself back down to reality and get a visual of how you feel and how you see yourself.
Yeah, but with technology, people who don't like to write, you can voice record your journal. And then when you go back and listen to it, you can kind of tell how you felt, you know, when you were
saying
it. You can hear
that emotion.
You can hear all of that. So I think it's helpful in that way, too. Because when I go back and read, I can feel my emotions. And I've done some electronic, you know, voice recordings. And I'm like, oh, wow, I was really hot about that. But, and then you see your growth, because I always say you start here, and usually say they take 21 days to break a habit, but I think if you double that and do 42 days, by the time that, you've changed your entire life.
Exactly.
You know, and I really feel that way. So that's, I have another, that's another thing I have. It's one of my free programs, 42 Steps. To live in a
proper and where can they, let people know how they can.
On my website, Javita, www.javitaandmiller.com.
Okay.
And all of that information is right there on that website. Go to the services, you read about everything I have. You can sign up for that, the free 42-day program. It says for single moms, but anybody can do
it. Yeah. And I'll put the links down as well.
Okay.
On how they can reach you. Do you have any other projects coming up? Any more book projects?
I want to, my goal is to make my first book an audiobook. So awesome. I want to speak it, but I haven't done it yet. I was saying I was going to do it, then COVID happened. So, you know, having to readjust things.
Yes.
But that would be the next big project that I'm working on myself. But I am collaborating. I am a brand ambassador for Release the Chains Collaborative Project.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a community.
Okay. It's
a community of people who are willing to work with each other to help each other grow. And in this membership, you can actually, you learn a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You learn a whole lot. There are a lot of stuff on there. There are discussions that they have, just thought-provoking discussions on different things and how you can help each other.
What's the name of it?
It's called RTC Collaborative. I'll send it to you.
Okay.
Make sure you have it.
Okay.
You can put it with my link. And but I think the whole idea of just collaborating with other folks is just phenomenal, because everybody wants the same thing. And we all can't do this by ourselves, because we have expertise in different areas, but we all could work together to just for the greater good.
Yes.
And I am like excited about that. So I'm working with her on that, with Ari Squires on that.
Okay.
So that's exciting. I'm excited about it.
Awesome.
So yeah, I'll send you that link shortly once we get off of here.
Okay. And I'm looking at your background and I'm in love. Good friends, good wine, good time. You had me at wine.
Let me tell you, when I saw that, I was in Family Dollar.
Really?
And I was like, oh my gosh, that is perfect. I can put it behind me and people can see it. And it's Wine Down Wednesday. So it's like, this is what it's all about. It's
yes,
just easy breezy.
It's and, you had me at wine. I was like, well, she's my go-to person. She got me. I'm there. All she gotta do is call.
That's right. Just get some wine, girl.
Is there anything else you want to make people aware of, you want to share?
No, you can follow me on all my social media outlets. It's all Javita Miller, Javita N. Miller. And just be you. Just continue to be confident, you know, authentically yourself. And you don't have to apologize for it. Take control of your life and you'll be able to walk, you know, in that purpose that you want. You'll be able to get your happy back and know that happiness is not a destination. It's a state of mind.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Davida. I appreciate you for coming on. Hopefully I'll be able to have you on again.
Oh, of course.
We have a lot of things in common. So I would love, love, love to have you again. And I definitely want to look at your program. I think I'm going to try the 42-day. I got some habits.
Right.
But thank you so much.
Thank you.